QAnon is now the most prolific online conspiracy theory of the 21st century. None of their predictions came true, Q has vanished, and the storm never came. But QAnon is still alive. I'm Jake Hanrahan, and this is Series 2 of Q Clearance, a podcast shedding light on the ongoing QAnon conspiracy theory. This is a production of Coup d'Etat Media and iHeartRadio. Today we're going to be taking a look at the effect QAnon has had on families and relationships. As you can imagine, much like a cult, it has been devastating for many, many people. Now, before we get fully into it, I want to bring your attention to one of the most brutal cases of QAnon warping a family dynamic that I have ever seen. What I'm about to read out is a statement from a Stoneman Douglas school shooting survivor. The Stoneman Douglas shooting being the 2018 massacre in which a gunman opened fire and killed 17 people in a Parkland, Florida school. This is what one of the survivors of that is having to deal with thanks to QAnon. This is from the QAnon Casualties Board on Reddit. And it goes, quote, "I survived the Stoneman Douglas school shooting and my dad is suddenly convinced I'm a liar and part of a false flag operation. Sorry if this is long, but I gotta get it off my chest. I think my dad has gone fucking insane. It's going way too far and I have trouble processing the last 5 months. He's always been very conservative, but now QAnon has consumed his life to the point where it's tearing our family apart along with my mental health. Back in January, he saw the video of Marjorie Taylor Greene harassing David Hogg, another student from Stoneman Douglas, about the shooting being a false flag operation. And while my dad was already into Q, he'd never gone down that particular rabbit hole and now he's convinced everything was a hoax and it breaks my fucking heart. He's done, quote, extensive research on body language and claims he can tell Nicholas Cruz is a radical commie actor who was paid to sacrifice his life in order to remove our guns. He's questioning why they released the interrogation footage if not to further deceive the sheep believing everything they see. He also says the trial will be rigged and the reason they're talking about the death penalty is to prevent him from ever talking just in case. What's really fucked is that he knows I never want to hear about him or see his face ever again. I've been very clear on that and I always leave the room when he starts talking about him. I keep telling him to please, please fucking stop, but there's no reaction or empathy whatsoever. Even burgundy-coloured t-shirts make me uncomfortable," that's what the shooter was wearing, "and he used to be so understanding, he stopped wearing it around me. That person is completely gone, and I miss him so fucking much. You're a real piece of work to be able to sit here and act like nothing ever happened if it wasn't a hoax. Shame on you for being part of it and putting your family through it too." He'll say stuff like that straight to my face whenever he's drinking, and I wonder if he'd still say it if he knew what it does to me. It's bringing back so much of my survivor's guilt, and I fucking hate him for it. I worked on it for so long, and now I once again feel like the biggest piece of shit for being able to have good days when there are parents still grieving. I can't take more of him berating me and purposely trying to trigger me to see if my PTSD is real or not. He's seen me break down and cry my eyes out multiple times, which I never ever did before. Sometimes I wonder if he's hit his head or had a fucking stroke, because I almost can't believe it's the same person. What the fuck is QAnon doing to people? My breaking point was yesterday when I borrowed my little brother's iPad and saw that he'd searched for things like Stoneman Douglas fake proof and Stoneman Douglas real dead body. I practically begged my mum to give my dad an ultimatum to get professional help or move out. She's really timid and hates confrontation, so all she said was try not to be home as much and wait it out. I have no fucking idea how to deal with this. It's too painful for me to keep living like this, hearing his name almost every single fucking day and being accused of accepting money to be part of it. Even if my dad magically snapped out of this cube bullshit, I don't think I'd ever forgive him for putting me through this when I was just recently starting to do relatively well. So fuck him for that, and fuck QAnon, and fuck Marjorie Taylor Greene for ruining my dad. Even though I've definitely felt like it, I don't think getting physical would do any good at all. I instead try to remind him to look back at the texts I sent when I was 100% sure the shooter was about to enter our classroom. I ask him to look me in the eyes and still argue I am able to fake what I wrote in those messages, but no luck. End quote. So that was a post from a lad who survived a school shooting and is now being accused by his own dad of being some kind of crisis actor, some kind of fraud. Thanks to the insanity of QAnon, this Stoneman Douglas shooting survivor is having to relive the trauma of the massacre over and over again via his own father. As I mentioned, that post is from the QAnon Casualties Board. This subreddit has been incredibly sad to read through whilst doing my research for this episode, but it's something that has to be done to really gauge an idea of how destructive QAnon can be. I spoke to one of the key moderators of the QAnon Casualties Board. He's known online as Poker Politics. He had a lot to say on the ways that QAnon has helped destroy whole families. Okay, mate, so first of all, give us an idea of what exactly Q Casualties is. Why was it set up?
Well, QAnon Casualties was a subreddit that was kind of an offshoot from what was called Cult Headquarters, which was the subreddit where people were going to like make memes, making fun of Q and QAnon, reporting on that kind of stuff. And then somebody else started it as a more serious support group for family and friends who've had people get into QAnon and become a different person and basically estranged relationships that were happening. So it was a place, there wasn't much to it. And that was just what we were going for, making a support group for, again, family and friends who'd had someone get into QAnon and now they're not who they were before. Then COVID hit and there was the lockdown and suddenly the forum just becomes huge because so many people are getting exposed to all this misinformation and going down the rabbit hole of QAnon. And then their family and friends are trying to figure out what's happening to them. And then they find our forum and it really became terrible that we became so popular is what basically happened. And it was at this point that because of what we were doing and because of QAnon's popularity, media and other people started looking into the forum and talking to us. Basically, at that point, the moderators were like, well, we just sort of set this up as a support group, as a way to meet other people dealing with this problem. We're not really into QAnon. We're not really people that understand that movement. And I'm like, well, I do.
At this point, Poker Politics essentially became the PR man for the QAnon Casualties Board as more journalists, media people started to get in touch with them. The reason he knew more about QAnon than the other moderators is because he too was once sucked into conspiracy theories.
I grew up basically as a conspiracy theorist. I was in high school, I was obsessed with the assassination of John F. Kennedy. I was a 9/11 truther for a period of time in my life. And then when I got out of that, I started looking at it from the other side. And I was like, why do people believe in these things? Why did I believe in these things? And this led me to following the Illuminati New World Order stuff on the internet and all the websites about that. And then I started hearing about QAnon in 2018, and it was just getting so big, and there was so much buzz around it. And I knew it was just the Illuminati story that I had been hearing for decades. And I was just like, why is this breaking through when the Illuminati story remained really kind of niche and wasn't that big in the mainstream? So I started digging into QAnon to try to find out what was going on about it. And then I saw how they had tied the Illuminati story to Donald Trump as the hero, how he was going to save the world. world, and you were now mingling mainstream American politics in with this niche conspiracy theory. And it was at that point that I was like, well, now I got to get on social media. I got to get more active. I got to start engaging on this.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the cases or the situations you've seen through being a moderator on the QAnon Casualties Board. What have you actually seen? What has QAnon done to some of these families that go there to talk about it?
The stories are always just like so tragic because this person finds something that seems to be innocuous and they start talking about it. And then after that happens for a couple weeks, and then it gets even weirder and worse, and then you eventually get into bad people are child trafficking. It's like the Wayfair scandal, that nonsense, and you just see it like take off on these people, and so much of the time the person seemed like a grounded, rational person who would never fall for this kind of stuff. And that's what something that always happens is people are like, oh, but my husband's so intelligent, he would never fall for this kind of thing or whatever. And intelligence never is a defense against this kind of belief. Like this QAnon and things like it fulfill an emotional need. They do something for a person that they're not getting from outside sources. And you don't see it coming, and most of the time until it's too late. I mean, unless you're with somebody all the time, you wouldn't notice what's going on. And that's what makes it so jarring, is that it just feels so sudden for so many of these people, that their loved one was one person one day and then a whole new person the next. There comes a point where there is no changing the situation. There is no fixing the problem.
Right, and why is it with Q specifically that it seems like they can't agree to disagree? Like the wife or the husband or whatever can't just go, right, I believe in Q, you don't, but I'm going to shut up about it to save this marriage or whatever. Why does it seem that Q is just so destructive in that regard?
It's because Q is such an aggressive movement when it comes to proselytizing. The whole basis of QAnon is the belief in the Great Awakening, this massive payoff that's supposed to happen at some ill-defined point in the future when all the bad guys get arrested and Donald Trump saves the world. And one of the beliefs about the Great Awakening is awakening people, that when you become a part of QAnon, it's your, you now have a mission to recruit more people into QAnon. You have to grow the community to help trigger the Great Awakening. And so they're on the chans and all these social media platforms, they have guides on how to manipulate people, how to rope them in, how to lure them into the movement. So it becomes, it's imperative that you get your friends and family to believe, because that's the only way we can win and defeat the deep state. So you just really can't have a live and let live attitude when you're dealing with a family member or a friend who is a QAnon supporter. There's always a part of them that's going to want to pull you in. It's very hard for them to not be for them to be quiet, because they've been told by their community and the people who are now effectively like their new family, you got to get more people. You got to get your wife. You got to get your kids. You got to get your parents. You got to bring people in, because the only way we can undo the brainwashing of Bill Gates and George Soros and all the bad guys is by getting superior numbers to them.
Right. Got you. To really kind of give our listeners an idea of how serious this is, maybe just give us a specific example without exposing anyone of how QAnon has really shattered someone's family.
There was a report about a month ago of a husband and wife who were in a custody battle, and that when the wife had custody of the children, she killed them. And it was because she believed that the entire city was involved in a child sex trafficking ring and that the children were going to be abducted at some point and sold into this bondage. And on the QAnon Casualties Forum, someone posted a message to that headline and said, "This was QAnon. I'm a family member, but I want to remain anonymous about it. But this is I'm a relative of the husband. I know the wife. I know the mental issues she was going through, and this is what drove her to this." And that's that. So, and again, it's a message on the internet. Take it with a grain of salt and all that stuff. But the reporting that came out about what the woman believed about the massive child trafficking community and all that stuff, I mean, it fits the narrative of QAnon. I mean, it fits exactly what they believe and what they subscribe to.
Whilst we weren't able to completely verify that horrific situation explained to us there by Poker Politics, there have been several other shootings that have QAnon firmly at their periphery. To be frank, at this stage, it is not at all surprising that someone with serious mental health issues spurred on by QAnon would take things too far and commit murder. And as we just heard for the last 20 minutes, people all across America are choosing to destroy their families in favor of an internet conspiracy theory. I don't think there's ever been something this divisive and vicious to come entirely from the internet with no evidence whatsoever and become this widespread. Remember, again, there are hundreds of thousands of QAnon supporters. On the most extreme end of it, QAnon pulls people away from their families the same way a cultic church does. Only there is no church, no building, no base, no headquarters. It's all done online. So to escape such a cult, all one has to do really is log off. But they can't. It's as if they're addicted. It seems that in reality, the so-called storm that QAnon predicted is coming was actually the destruction that it has caused to so many people's lives. For some, it's turning from an online conspiracy theory into a dangerous mass delusion. Is brought to you by iHeartRadio and Coup d'Etat Media. I'm Jake Hanrahan. You can find me online at Jake_Hanrahan. That's HANRAHAN. You can get Q Clearance merch at darkwash.net. This episode was produced by myself with fact-checking and additional research by Sarah Hightower. The music is by Sam Black, and the sound was mixed by Thomas Griffin at Splicing Block.